To be like who? To be like who? He said, so that Jesus might be the firstborn. If he's the firstborn, by the same spirit that produced him, if that same spirit has produced you, you must be like him. That is why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. God himself put him as a wave offering for everybody to see. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the meeting point. He is called the last Adam, because the first Adam failed. But why did the first Adam fail? Who was the first Adam? The first Adam is a product of, let us make man in our own image and likeness. The first Adam was supposed to reflect God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That is why Adam is referred to as the son of God. Adam is the image of God. And the image of God is not your nose, your mouth, your leg, your height, your color of your skin, the size of your body. That is not the image and the likeness of God. The characteristics of God is the emphasis there. Hallelujah. His characteristics. Then you will understand why Apostle Paul, telling the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 15, he referred to Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God. And he is the last Adam, because this one will not fall. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he is the first begotten from the dead. We were all condemned and dead. And the resurrection starts from him. The first begotten from the dead. Hallelujah. And he became the image, that anyone that will be a child of God, he became the standard. He became the standard. Until you catch this, you will be dressing like your pastor. If your pastor is palming hair, you will be palming your hair. If your pastor prays in a certain way, we're going to follow him. Because instead of you to look for Jesus to be like him, you are looking for his servants to be like them. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. We are called to be like Jesus. Therefore, your standard to judge your Christian faith, that's why we are called Christians. Judge it by the standard of who you know Jesus to be. Therefore, the first assignment you have is to know him. If you don't know him, how will you know to rate whether you are now like him or not? And so the summary of what I'm saying is, we have earthly visions. Visions of earthly destinies that we see. And without this vision, he said, the people perish. Without this vision, the people perish. A student, one of my young daughters here going to school, going to the university for the first time. And so I had to sit her down to ask her, you are going to school now. Number one, what do you want to read? This. Now, what is the result you are aiming at achieving as you are going to school? Unless, amen, you have a target to achieve, you are going there to only wander there. They are the ones that go and join cult. They are the ones that sneak in the night and run to party and do prostitution in the campus. Because there is nothing they want to pursue to achieve. It comes by a dream. It comes by a vision. Then you begin to walk towards it. Then you begin to gather your points to achieve what you want to achieve. When they are there doing party, you are there studying, reading, or you are resting, or you are praying to God to help you. I read in a newspaper, a young girl that made first class degree in one of the institutions. And the newspaper, they were asking her, a young girl like you, how were you able to achieve first class? In that department, nobody has achieved that. How did you? She said, I came here to get first class. He said, but your peers, were they not disturbing you? Let's go for a party. He said, they always came, but he always told them, I didn't come here to go to party. If I want to go to party, when I'm out of school, I'll go to party. But when I'm here in school, I came to get a degree. And they kept asking her. She said, it was no issue to her, the way she was answering. He said, no, I didn't come here. They told me, they didn't like me, but I didn't come here to make friends either. She said it. I didn't come here to make friends, so I didn't care who liked me or who didn't like me. I was focused. I was reading my books, and I'm happy I made the first class. Because there was a vision. Because there was a dream. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When God calls you, that's what I'm emphasizing today, to a heavenly vision. Amen. When God calls you, he does not call you without you knowing your destination. Most Christians don't know their destination. The only thing you know is the destination to your church. That's all you know. You know everything about your church, how many branches they have, the name, everything. You are busy studying your GO to know the latest car is using, the latest shoe is wearing, the latest cloth. You know everything. But concerning your destination, known as your destiny as a Christian, many Christians know nothing about their destiny. How do I know? Christianity without passion. That is evidence. Even in this ministry, you have not seen people going to churches as if they are doing the pastor a favor. They do that. Especially those of you who are in Europe. I mean the immigrants who are in Europe, who are in America. More importantly, Europe and United Kingdom. Amen. I say it confidently. I'm still repeating confidently. If you see one, please let me know. Please let me know. I have not yet seen a church with Christians gathering with the sole purpose of serving God and with the intention of going to heaven. I have not seen one single one in Europe. Please, if you see, let me know. Pastor, how do you know? I travel. I read. I'm a very curious person. I see it. Amen. Go to all of them. All those churches in Europe that are pastored by Africans, they are there for food to eat. I repeat, now, the reason is this. The person that is a pastor, he himself is an immigrant. And every immigrant that left Africa to go to Europe, you went there to make life better for you. So, everything they do in Europe, therefore, is for the betterment of their life, including ministry. Generally. Now, so when you are going out and you are looking for, you are going to evangelize, the truth is you may not be, in fact, you, not me, you are not evangelizing. You are not evangelizing for people to become Christians. You are looking for members. Now, when the members come, what they are doing is they are going to think that they are doing you, the pastor, a favor by coming to you. I should pay my tithe to you, Abby. Make I go work, carry the money, come they give you. Abby? Make I go work. You think say you get sense? All of us come here to look for money. Then may I go work, they can't carry tithe they give you. Then the pastor is pursuing them when they don't come church. Why now? Then if they leave his church, go to another church, you start to fight that church because his tithe is reducing. So generally, you hardly see a church that is pastored by a black man that you will see white men there as members. They know the game. They know the game. I told somebody in Europe, I told him, why, since this your church started, why are there no white people here? Why is it only black? Not even black, all Nigerians. I said, you think that church be this? It is Association of Nigerian Immigrants. Yes, I told him so. And it was meant to fire him to realize what it means to be in ministry. Praise the Lord. And I told him, I said, there's no need to boast, but I have evidence to show. I said, if I were to go to Europe and start a church, I said, the majority of the members there will be white. And I know what I mean. You say, how? 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 Why are you saying so? Eh? Why are you saying so? In Nigeria, if the pastor is an Igbo man, the whole members are Igbo people. If the pastor is a Yoruba man, all the members Yoruba. Me, I be Hausa. How many Hausa are they here? Na Igbo people they here. So that you know that it is not for tribalism you are here. Hallelujah. There's something you have seen. Amen. There's something you have seen. And anybody that is here must be seriously wanting to go to heaven. And I can assure you, I will not deceive you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what vision produces. The first thing he does is he gives you your destiny. And so, what is the destiny of a Christian? If you don't know your destiny, how will you pursue to achieve it? The destiny of a Christian is in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Can we open it? Are we there? Are you called? For whom? Jesus. Listen, this is, listen very well. For whom he did foreknow, foreknowledge. He also did predestinate. Our destiny was determined before we began through God's foreknowledge. What is our destiny that he predestinated us to achieve? We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Jesus Christ is his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Therefore, what is the heavenly destiny of a Christian? Answer me. Answer me now. To be like who? To be like who? He says, so that Jesus might be the firstborn. If he's the firstborn, by the same spirit that produced him, if that same spirit has produced you, you must be like him. That is why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. God himself put him as a wave offering for everybody to see. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the meeting point. He is called the last Adam, because the first Adam failed. But why did the first Adam fail? Who was the first Adam? The first Adam is a product of, let us make man in our own image and likeness. The first Adam was supposed to reflect God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That is why Adam is referred to as the son of God. Adam is the image of God. And the image of God is not your nose, your mouth, your leg, your height, your color of your skin, the size of your body. That is not the image and the likeness of God. The characteristics of God is the emphasis there. Hallelujah. His characteristics. Then you will understand why Apostle Paul, telling the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 15, he referred to Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God. And he is the last Adam, because this one will not fall. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he is the first begotten from the dead. We were all condemned and dead. And the resurrection starts from him. The first begotten from the dead. Hallelujah. And he became the image that anyone that will be a child of God, he became the standard. He became the standard. Until you catch this, you will be dressing like your pastor. If your pastor is palming hair, you will be palming your hair. If your pastor prays in a certain way, you're going to follow him. Because instead of you to look for Jesus to be like him, you are looking for his servants to be like them. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. We are called to be like Jesus. Therefore, your standard to judge your Christian faith, that's why we are called Christians. Judge it by the standard of who you know Jesus to be. Therefore, the first assignment you have is to know him. If you don't know him, how will you know to rate whether you are now like him or not? Our destiny is not to become millionaires and billionaires. Anytime we preach sermons that will shaping our spiritual life, you don't receive response of amen and the rest. But when you hear in the, I said you are correcting us today, in the journey of life, overtaking is alive, is allowed. Eh?
It's a radical statement.
It's a radical statement. I agree. Statement. I agree. There's nothing like overtaking. We don't overtake anybody. We are not in competition. We are not in competition. We are not in competition in life. We all have the same destination. We are all going to the same destination. So there is nothing like overtake. If you are going to overtake, then the rapture will have taken place a long time ago in the days of Apostle Paul. Everybody will wait till the last elect comes in. Then we are going together. There is nothing like overtake. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anytime we speak, we talk about any earthly things like that, you see people respond, hey, yeah. But we don't have the commensurate response when we talk about sharpening ourselves to fit into our destiny. For which reason we are called? I am called. I am not talking about the call to serve. There is the call to serve, and there's the call to to receive eternal life. And every Christian has that call. He that believeth shall be saved, and is baptized shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but do what? Have eternal life. Come to me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, eternal life is in his Son. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you have Jesus in you, then Jesus had the Father in him. Jesus had the Father in him. Oh, glory be to God. And Philip is saying, show us the Father. Philip, have I been so long with you and you still don't know me? You are a Christian. Somebody is asking you, are you a Christian? You should be able to say, Abba, all this while I'm living here, you don't know that I'm a Christian. Something is wrong. The life that I live, does it not? Do I follow you to nightclub? Do I do boyfriend, girlfriend with you? Do I follow you to beer parlor? Do I follow you to do all the nonsense? Do I dress like a prostitute? Even from my dress, can't you see? Philip, have I not told you, if you see me, you see the Father? Oh, glory be to God. Because the Father and I are one. And until you come to this estate, you will live a wild Christian life. We are called to be like Jesus, to produce again the image of God. We are called to be partakers of the soon coming resurrection. And it's the resurrection of life, which is called the first resurrection. That is our destiny. God has destined us that he will be destroying this world, but he has destined that before he will destroy this world, he will take us away. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There I go to prepare a place for you. We are destined for a place in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. There's a song I'm telling the choir to sing, to learn and sing for me. Hallelujah. That song says, some call it heaven, but I call it home. Some say I am dreaming, I say, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. Some call it heaven, I call it home. It's my home. Some say I am dreaming, I say, let me dream on. Some say it is paradise, somewhere in the sky. Some call heaven, but I call it home. I call it home. And if heaven is my home, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord, then I will live here like a stranger. You know why? We learn a lot from so many cultures. You know, there is something very unique. I associate so much with the Igbo people, so please allow me to be using what you will understand. The Igbo man does not joke with his home. Am I correct? man dies in China, they must bring his dead body to his village. No matter how many billions he has a big mansion in his village. He's living in a three-bedroom apartment here in Lagos. Nobody dead here for village. But you know what? He remember what happened in 1966. Oh, glory be to God. He said, affliction cannot arise a second time. Hallelujah. In case they start again, they have a home to go to. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the moon. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can feel at home. Hallelujah. Does that not tell you something about the life of a Christian? When you have the certainty that this one will perish, would you prepare yourself a home over there? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jewish prophet, for giving us this idea. You have not done anything wrong by living in one room here. You are like Abraham. After all, you say you are Jews. You are like Abraham. It's wisdom you are applying. In case, bam, I go back to my hometown, I have nothing to lose here. We lost before. That was how they lost in the days of Noah's flood. They lost everything. They did not prepare for what was coming. But you are prepared for what is coming. That's why you are preparing it with your home in your village. So also, prepare for something that is coming, including that one in your village. There is another one that is coming. This world will soon be destroyed. Certainty. Certainty. Do you want me to prove it again in the scripture? 2 Peter chapter 3, can we read it? Verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. That is certain. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the firmament shall melt with fervent heat. This earth, the earth also, and the works, all the buildings, all the structures that are therein, shall be burnt up. Verse 11. He then added, see then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought it to be in all holy conversation and godliness? But see something. He says, seeing then that all this shall be dissolved, do you see it? If you don't see it, how will you prepare? That is the vision we are talking about. That is the revelation we are talking about. Amen. Our destiny, unless you catch it, amen, to know what is prepared and waiting for us. Something is waiting for us. Apostle Paul said, eye has not seen, neither has it entered into the ear of man, what God has prepared for us. Oh, glory be to God. How did you know, Apostle Paul? He said he was caught up to the third heavens. And what he saw? He cannot say what he saw. And he said the things that he saw, he said they are unspeakable. But even without that description, do you know the meaning of eternal life? A life that has no end. A life that has no end. Hey, no more dying there. We are going to meet the Lord. No more crying there.
We are going to see the Lord.
No more house rent. No more us through this. No sickness, no hospital, no witch, no wizard, no day, no age. No age there, no age. No age. Are you hearing me? No age. No age. You are the same thing. The same. So, does it? But you'll be a little taller when we are there, so that we just remain the same height. Eh? No, there'll be no short, there'll be no tall. We'll just be angel is angel. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. We are not struggling to, we are not farming to eat. We are not toiling to eat. Eh? We are not looking for job. Eh? We have you imagined what it will look like? Eternal life. When you catch this vision, if this is your vision, it will reflect in your Christian life.